News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're still here, and we're going to start this hour of the El Paso History Show with an El Paso History Moment, produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And today her story is about what was the last thing John Wesley Hardin said before he got permanent lead poisoning.
You've got 4 sixes to beat, Brown. It was cooler than usual that August evening in 1895, when a smoldering feud between a lawman and a gunfighter came to a head in El Paso's Acme Saloon. The piano player plays an out-of-tune version of the popular After the Ball is Over, while dice are being tossed for drinks at the bar. The saloon's batwing doors slowly swing open, and in steps an aging John Selman, a shootist-turned-constable. In a matter of seconds, shots from Selman's .45 caliber pistol closed a chapter in the dark side of Texas history. John Wesley Hardin, gunfighter, lies dead on the floor of the Acme Saloon. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
I went online, and there you were, just standing there.
Yes.
Alliancing.
You like the gun? I was standing there shooting the gun. No.
You probably did that in the backyard as a sound effect.
No, I didn't.
No, I
have fun looking for the sound and the music and all that stuff.
That worked out well.
Yeah, I like that really one good. Especially.
And Bernie playing the piano that was just perfect. So call up Bernie, 581-7920, if you want to get involved in the El Paso History Alliance on Facebook. They have more than 40,000 followers.
Yeah. And another person that's got tons of pictures is Barbara Given-Bainey and the crew over there at Remember in El Paso When. Every time I turn around, there's something new and people sharing pictures.
You guys know about that, right?
Yes.
The Remember in El Paso When Facebook page?
Yes.
Oh, it's fabulous. I mean, you pick an archive.
I bet you she's got a whole bunch of stuff with these guys up there right now.
Oh, we have to go look. I mean, we've been in here talking, not looking at computers. But the thing about it is that's a great website, and it's a great service.
The good thing about that website is that people are posting their own personal
old
photos that are not part of the public domain.
I asked one day, I said, is anybody getting pictures of old Hart's Mill? And about 12 pictures showed up from angles I'd never heard of.
Fantastic. And kudos to the El Paso County right now for doing what they're doing.
The Duranguito survey, you mean?
Well, as far as for Hart's Mill, the fact
that one.
Well, that's really wonderful.
And the survey also of downtown Duranguito, they found 7 sites. We were talking about the Chinese. The only surviving building of the Chinese is the Chinese Laundry down there. And it's going to be gone if the city has its way.
But you're talking also about Hart's Mill and the survey they're going
to do. Yeah, the Hart's Mill and the survey that they're doing now that was led by David Stout. Yes.
That's going to require a huge survey they put up some preliminary money apparently. But they want to do an archaeological survey of the entire property, which would be very fitting.
That would be wonderful.
That is more valuable history than their Plymouth Rock.
The first spot in El Paso, Ponce's Rancho was there. I mean, that's... never mind.
Okay, on and on. You're talking about Duranguito. I'm talking about...
Same thing.
But the history is coming out, and the county
is the
group
doing
both of those.
Exactly. They're getting active in it. That's important.
They really are. So anyway, that's what's going on there, and we do appreciate all the help we can get on Facebook with Barbara and all the other people. And go see what Barbara's got over there. I can't wait to see what she's got. She's doing something.
Busy girl.
But the thing is about history. Felipe, I understand you got an event you have to attend, so we're going to have to talk to you now. Tell us some more stories.
Okay, well, here's two quickies. The year is 1978, and I'm 4. And I'm in the newsroom by myself. We were in the back of the station back in the day before we moved to to where it is still today that was moved in 1980.
Something like that.
It's 1978. And they said, Joyce Francione was up front and said, someone's here. They are looking for a TV camera. And so there was just like one guy hanging out. And I went up front, and there was like a good-looking actor, and he was with two other guys, and they said, "Hi, could you do an interview?" And I said, "Well, I don't really do interviews, but how can we help you?" He said, "Well, I've got a movie that is coming out. It's opening at Morningside Mall tonight, and we're trying to get people to go because they haven't really sold tickets. And I'm a TV, and I'm trying to be a movie actor, and I do karate, and I do this and that." We sat and we talked, and then I got the cameraman to come out to the rotunda and interview this man whose name was Chuck Norris.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie was called A Good Guys Wear Black. And it opened that night at Morningside Mall, and they had a huge turnout because it got on the 5 and 6 o'clock newscast.
Because you did it.
And no, but it was like a voiceover. I mean, it was just quick, and I didn't do a package. I was, you know, just held the microphone. Yeah. And he was so excited. He came back the next day.
Really?
And thanked us. Then he came back a year later and told us incredible stories about Bruce Lee and Steve McQueen and this young sensei who was 21 named Steven Seagal.
And you got this all on recorded? Did you get it recorded?
All of it.
Oh, excellent.
And so then, so the next year he had another film. He wanted to premiere it in El Paso because he felt very good about El Paso. And then a couple of years later, he actually filmed a movie in El Paso. And years later, I mean, Chuck Norris became Chuck Norris. But when he started out, El Paso was kind of his first little ballpark.
Yeah.
It was kind of nice. And speaking of Steve McQueen, so that was 1980 in the newsroom, and we got a call from our Juarez stringer, whose name was Porfirio Garcia, and said that they thought there was an estrella de cine who was at a Juarez funeral home. And I went with Jeff Gates, Silverio Valdez, because there was activity on the radio. When we got there, Channel 4 was there, and so was the El Paso Herald Post.
And you translate that, what you just said about the estrella.
There is a movie star here in the funeral home.
Yes.
We walk in, and sure enough, that movie star was Steve McQueen.
Oh, boy.
And so we were the first ones to go in there. He was there on a slab. The people from the Juarez Medical School were there. And he had come to El Paso. He had been doing Laetril treatments that weren't working because he didn't want to do chemotherapy. And he was in Tijuana. And he came to Juarez, talked to the head of the medical school, and just wanted the tumor in his neck out of his body before he died. He just wanted to die without that. So he was in El Paso for 2 weeks at what was then the Granada Royal Hotel, which is now the Embassy Suites, and he checked in as Sam Shepard.
Oh,
now for those of you who don't know, that means that was the fugitive.
The fugitive, yes.
And so he went, did the surgery. He reportedly woke up from the surgery. They fed him chipped ice. He fell asleep and was no longer there.
Bummer.
So then they contacted his family. And they transported him literally in a pine box in an old station wagon. We followed them through the Zaragoza Bridge to what is now Qatar Aviation. And there were big planes and bodyguards and security. And that was good and well and fine. And it was an incredible moment, naturally, in my Hollywood
career,
life and everything life. And what was amazing is that years later, there is a book now about what happened, because there was an attorney of his who was trying to cash in and said there were guns blazing and they were trying to get the body out of Juarez. And so this man contacted me. I'm like, that's not what happened. But it was really something. And he was only 50 years old and he died in Juarez, Mexico. And I covered the story.
Amazing.
Which was truly, it was crazy for a young little person who just got to do one of the big stories of the decade.
Well, you had to hit the ground running in your career, obviously, so you
absolutely
did.
Absolutely.
But there was another big story you also did, though, too, because you're a movie critic. You're part of the
Broadcast Film Critics.
Yeah, that's right. The association, and you vote every year
I
on the different
year,
things.
That's
and,
right.
And you were also seen posing on the red carpet with one of the biggest canine movie stars
one
ever.
One of the great moments of my day, because you can meet everybody, but you can't meet this guy. And he's been around a long time. He has a great lineage, great stock. And
you're not talking about Timmy.
No, not Timmy.
No.
No.
Not talking
Timmy,
about
Timmy was
Timmy.
Left in the well.
Timmy was left in the well. I'm talking about one of the great movie stars of our day. And I posed with the great movie star of our day.
Lassie.
Yes.
I actually saw the picture last night.
That was, you know, you meet everybody, but that one was a good one. That one
probably gave you a lot more attention than anything else.
Yeah. Yes, he did. I mean, you can go and sit and pose by Ryan Gosling, but Lassie's going to be happy to see you. And so, and being, I loved.
You're an animal activist.
I'm an animal activist, and I rescue dogs and birds and kittens and wave at butterflies. I break for butterflies when I drive, so be careful as I'm going down Mesa. But yeah, Lassie was a good one. Lassie was a piece of cake.
You may have already answered the question, what's your most interesting story you've ever been a part of? But I mean, the Steve McQueen thing, the space shuttle landing in White Sands. Pick another one that people would remember. Something. Well, Roy, maybe you. What can you tell us about Philippa Solis that we need to know that she might not want to tell us?
Well, you know, I think her family is just outstanding. The history and the, you know, her dad was a Hollywood choreographer and flamenco dancing for a lot of years. And I remember coming to her house, being invited over to dinner for a paella dinner.
Yes.
On a number of occasions, and hearing speaking with your dad, and hearing the stories of life as a Hollywood star, and it was a wonderful experience to in his very emotional kind of delivery, and in his speech patterns were so dramatic, you know, and
I
was very impressed with this gentleman. And he was truly very well known. This must have been back in the 30s and 40s, I would imagine.
Wait, that was actually 40s and 50s. And,
yes.
And he worked a lot in Mexico as well in cinema. Because understanding, like, even back in Spain in the day in the 1930s, when right before World War II and the fascist regime, there were so many artists who left Spain.
Yeah.
From Pablo Casals, Picasso, my dad, and then he... Saul Hurok signed him, and he began touring the country and came back to America. But so many artists were embraced by the country of Mexico. I think there were hundreds of thousands of Spanish expatriates who made their way, like Luis Buñuel. There were so many people who made Mexico their home, and my dad was very embraced by Mexico, which was why he wanted to settle and retire in El Paso, because he wanted to be close to the border. But he had a
thriving career. He came here to retire?
Yeah.
Pretty much,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
That's why when we moved here, that was, you know, this was going to be kind of where do you want to grow old? And it's amongst places where he wanted to be. And
that's
Mexico was always very, very close to his heart and what it stood for and how it embraced him. So he did a lot of film there, too. Film in L.A., that's where he met my mom. The rest is history. Child of Scandal, you know the drill.
You're the child of Scandal.
Not really.
Oh,
wow.
Well.
She wants, yeah.
You know, we never let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Oh, no,
is
that's
what
a
I
great
say.
Story. Let's
but
tell
always,
about the details.
Always after paella, it was a tremendous
dancing.
Performance, flamenco performance, in the dance studio in the basement of your house.
That's right.
My.
That's right. So, yeah. So you worked for your supper, and then you danced.
You got to dance.
So right, before you go, talk about some anchor people you have worked with over the years. You've worked with a lot of people. You guys don't go far back as Conrad Bryson, do you?
I think that I admired most locally was Gary Warner. Gary was a consummate professional.
Yes.
And was a very serious newsman. He always made note of the fact that he was not the story. The story was the journalism that he was performing every single day. And I learned a tremendous amount of professionalism from Gary Warner. I worked with some other very talented newswomen, Philippa among them. Suzanne Michaels was one of my favorites, Estella Casas. I didn't work with her on the air too many times, but she's another person that I really admire and does a tremendous work to this day. And I've been inspired by quite a number of other folks that I've worked with, bosses that I've worked with. Richard Pearson was my boss for a number of years. He fired me twice, by the way.
Oh, really?
Did he?
So,
but I never faulted him for anything. He took over the Community Foundation and ran the TV station for Mr. Weiler after he passed away. During that period, it was transitioning to the Community Foundation.
Right.
He was one of the most eclectic kind of individuals that I've ever worked with.
I would bet,
But he was wonderful to work with.
Now, you don't go back as far as Conrad Bryson, do you?
I came in right at the beginning, at the end of his period of time.
Because he went to work for Richard White in D.C.
Right.
So did Jack DeVore.
I never worked with Conrad Bryson.
I just saw him on the air. I never worked with him, but he was just fabulous to listen to.
No, but we were fortunate, both Philippe and I were fortunate enough to cover some very important stories in El Paso over the years.
Absolutely.
You know, all of the politics, and to me, politics were the most fascinating things to follow. local politics, particularly. And later on, I spent a lot of years working in the area of education. I was the education reporter for KBIA for a better part of 10 years, and I learned quite a bit. One of my heroes in the school finance fight in the state of Texas with a gentleman by the name of James Vasquez. He was the one who led the equalization fight for education in the state of Texas. He also happened to have been my high school principal when I was a student at the John F. Kennedy High School in San Antonio.
Oh, back there.
Yes. Wow. And so he ended up here and became the Region 19 director. And I have a tremendous amount of respect and love for Mr. Vasquez. We covered a lot of tragic stories.
One
as
more
well.
Story.
Well, Bruce Bissonnette, we have to talk. If we're going to talk about history, we're going to talk about Bruce Bissonnette.
Oh, yes,
because
we are. Yes,
he was a radio man. He went to Hollywood. He worked with Roy Rogers on the Roy Rogers Show in the 1950s.
Had a great,
Annie Devine.
Deep voice.
And he had a deep, incredible voice. And these were people who were larger than life because they were. They walked into a room and they made a difference. And speaking of Steve McQueen, he was cast in The Getaway. And there's a scene that actually was filmed in Favens where Bruce Bissonnette is selling Steve McQueen the guns. And then he holds them up and he says, what are you going to do, knock a wall down? And, of course, Louis Sines wrote that like on a billboard for Bruce. But Bruce Bissonnette was, he was a radio man, but he got it. Because, again, who got the lead story? That was the key. That was everything. So here's a funny one. Naturally, because Mr. Weiler was very involved with the Elmira Shrine, we would cover the dog shows on Sundays.
Oh, yes.
And that was my first story. And I went, no, I'm bigger than that. And I was like Veronica Corningstone in Anchorman. So I said, I went to Bruce and I said, I don't want to just do, because he had some horrible assignment. I was about 19. Just nothing. And I said, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm bigger than the dog story.
And
he said, oh, really? Okay. Well, here you go. And he'd call me Dolly Doodles. Here you go, Dolly Doodles. You're going to take the news car. We used to have these little yellow News Channel 9 cars. And you're going to go to it used to be the city-county building, which is now the county building. It was the city and the county. You're going to go there. You're going to bring back a story by 1 o'clock. If not, we'll talk. I cried in the car. I cried in the car. I'm like, how am I going to do this? And so I put myself together, and I walked into the city-county building, and I introduced myself to then-County Judge Hugh Del Moore. I remember I introduced myself to Petey Vasquez, who was the county purchasing agent, and a couple of judges. And sure enough, I came back, and I had a story.
There you went.
And so then that became my little beat.
Dolly Doodles.
But he called me Dolly Doodles. And he, and we call him the old cinnamon bun.
Yeah.
But it was amazing because that's how it was trial by fire. It was OJT time. It was not, yes, social media is amazing. And yes, we can reach thousands of people.
Yeah, the best of us who went through something like that, you know, we learned from that experience.
Absolutely.
Used it to our advantage over the years, you know. Well, and we were better for it. You know, I can't decry anybody who, kind of just puts that in the back of the head and just moves on.
Never.
You know.
No, Bruce is a big guy.
Yes.
I put him in a video, and he talked all about plane crashes and stuff.
You know, one of the most impactful stories that I ever covered, you know, we covered a range of stories, and some of them were very tragic, and we saw a lot of stuff that stays with us forever. The one that I covered was when I was working at Channel 7, and in 1987, there was a huge tornado in a little town called Saragossa to the west of.
Oh, my gosh,
And my photographer and I were among the first to arrive at the scene. And that, to this day, the hair on the back of my head just stands up because it was so horrific.
Oh.
This tornado just devastated the small town. When we arrived that evening, they were still pulling the bodies of little babies out of the daycare center there.
Mm.
And since we were the only camera crew there with a light that was working, the first responders, the rescue crews, were not very well equipped to handle that kind of a situation.
So you lit the scene.
So they commandeered our camera lights to begin the search, picking up the debris and removing the bodies of these small babies.
Oh.
To this day, that just traumatizes me. Like you would not believe.
Raw news.
Something that you never get over.
Raw news can get to you. Be
raw
careful.
News.
Absolutely.
Be careful.
You know, there was a story. I used to love to cover the courts. I used to love to
We're
cover.
We're never going to get out of here, are
We're
we?
Never going to get out of here. The court, as far as like court cases, I mean, you would literally sit in court cases. And one of the assignments I got was to go to Alamogordo with the David Parker Ray cases. And that's I've always thought that that should be a movie. And Scott Glenn would play David Parker. He was a serial killer in Elephant Butte. And it was just almost traumatizing to hear the testimony and watch this man and how it unfolded. And then they sent another reporter, and I came back to the newsroom, and then the next day, and he died behind bars. And it was just like, what? This incredible case that, imagine if he would have been tried till the end.
Geez.
So many things would have come out, but that it was also David Leonard Wood. There were so many cases like that that really put El Paso on the map.
We got to go, Philippe. I hate to say, and you got to get to your event.
Yeah, I've got to get to go.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for
having
me.
Roy, you're sticking around, right?
I'll be here.
Okay. Yes. Well, Philippe, we'll see you next event, whatever that may be. Get back into radio with us when you can.
Absolutely. Yes. I would love it, and I'll see you at Pepe's.
Pepe's? Today?
Not today.
Some other day.
Some other day.
Roy will see us at Pepe's today.
Yes.
Fair enough.
I'm trying to convince my wife and my mother-in-law to join us, so I'm working on it right now.
Yeah, work on those people, would you? And we're going to give away some Pepe's certificates now. Thank you very much
for being
here.
Thank you. All right, love to all.
Trivia being what it is, what do you got?
Well, we got some trivia questions here. We didn't get to the one on Roy yet.
Roy.
So, yes.
Go ahead.
You would have put that off. You wanted to do that now. Or no, are we going to go to break? Are we going to go to break? Or
but you asked a question now.
Well, we can ask one question now.
And that is?
Philippe Solis, an animal lover and a voting member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association, was seen posing on the red carpet with the most famous canine movie actor ever.
Oh, who was it?
Who was that canine?
We know who it was, but you have to call us to get us the answer to get the DVD or the Pepe's.
He's handsome.
I know. That. And he was supposed to be a she. 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
The trip we're taking this weekend to Aguirre Springs is the shortest trip we'll take all year. But what it lacks in distance, it more than makes up for in diversity. It's where the Oregon Mountains have met the Chihuahuan Desert and decided to become one. The mountains harbor more than 800 plant species, where you'll find everything from alligator junipers to ponderosa pines. Same thing with animals. You'll see everything from Colorado chipmunks to mule deer, from the ruby-throated hummingbird to the golden eagle. Our hogs are big fans of diversity, too. Trips like this one will include everything from sportsters to electric glides and anything else Harley has to offer. But what we have to offer is the best group of people riding to the most interesting places you'll find anywhere in the country. And along with all that diversity, we offer something else too. The greatest place in the world to buy and ride your new Harley-Davidson. The adventure begins at BarnettHarley.com, or you can see us in person at Barnett Harley-Davidson. Because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
Message and data rates may apply.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 150 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll learn the same degree as you would on campus from wherever you are on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, text COURSE to 35517. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates and why 87% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU online degrees, text COURSE to 35517. That's COURSE to 35517.
If you're over 50, listen carefully. Do you have trouble remembering names, where you put your keys, or where you parked your car? Even simple facts that you should remember but just can't? By age 50, the average person has lost half of their short-term memory, and it only gets worse. Don't ignore the warning signs of age-related memory loss. Now you can think faster and remember more with Cebria, the best-selling non-prescription memory formula supported by 20 years of memory research. A scientific study shows that Cebria can improve your memory in just 30 days. Just call 1-800-990-7211 to get started. All callers today receive a free 30-day supply of Cebria, so you can start improving your short-term memory right away. Get your free bottle of Cebria. Call 1-800-990-7211 or order online at freememoryoffer.com. One free month per household. Don't wait. Call 1-800-990-7211 or go to freememoryoffer.com.
Wake up, take a deep breath, and start a brand new day without cigarettes.
We know how it feels to quit smoking, That's why we created the American Cancer Society's Quit for Lifeline. With the free tips, tools, and confidential counseling proven to help double your chances of quitting for good. Call toll-free 877-YES-QUIT. That's 877-YES-QUIT. Brought to you by the Texas Department of State Health Services.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got the lines full here. Roy Ortega is still here with us. We're going to talk broadcast. And now that Philippa's gone, we're going to talk about her.
She's probably listening on the radio right now. She'll call in.
Well, we may not take her call because we're going to block her. Anyway, no, she's good people. She had to go. All right, what's going to happen here next? Oh, get this next week here in the studio. Oh, my goodness.
Spring Fire
is going to be here. The musicians will regroup for a discussion about their band's history, what they've seen about El Paso history, and a comment or two about El Paso's music industry. We've asked Rick Kern to come in and help us look back at this El Paso music history. That's going to be a hoot. September 2nd, Celebrating Our Mountains with Mr. Jim Tolbert. September 9th, Chuck Wagon History, Skip Clark and Wayne Calk.
C-A-L-K. Yes.
I didn't mistype that. Okay.
No.
September 16th, History Standing. And the history that is standing today and the history that is beneath the ground in the neighborhood known as Duranguito in El Paso's downtown. Our guests will be in the studio, Max Grossman, and by phone, J.P. Bryant. Going to be an interesting show.
Yes.
September 23rd, going to meet the new director of the El Paso Museum of History, David Grabitsky. We also welcome Tracy Jerome coming with him, director for City of El Paso Museum and Cultural Affairs Departments. Okay, now this one's going to be different. Roy, see what you think of this. On September 30th, we have an unusual opportunity to talk to two El Pasoans who have been or are now network news camera operators at the White House in Washington, D.C. One will phone it in from D.C.
Wonderful.
And we're going to add a third person in the studio who's also done the White House camera duty business, but he's from Buffalo, New York. We're going to let him in anyway. This trio will bring stories of the news behind the cameras on many world events that have happened in front of their cameras. And then one guy went on to be a technical manager for ABC News, and he has traveled the world providing live coverage for ABC for many presidential visits around the globe. This guy's been to Cuba 5 times. He'll be here in the studio.
See, I think I know who that is.
I think I might know who that is. I may even be related to these people.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think he has connections here.
I am related to this people. Okay, you ready for it? Okay,
I don't think there's any doubt that El Paso has cultivated any number of very famous behind-the-scenes kinds of people, technical folks that have worked in great places and made huge contributions.
All over the place
in
California. Absolutely. This is just going to be D.C. Of course, Sam Donaldson, we know all about Sam.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Kathy, Jack, and Al in that order. Don't go any. Oh, wait a minute. Jack took off. Let's go to Kathy. Kathy, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Morning.
We got a question for you.
Okay. Philippa Solis was an animal lover, and she appeared on the red carpet with the most famous canine movie actor ever. Who was that canine?
Lassie.
There you go.
That wasn't so hard, was it?
Yes.
No.
Because we gave you the answer. Now, the other one we didn't give you the answer to for the next caller. But anyway, what would you like? Pepe's.
Okay. I love Pepe's.
That's a good thing. You know why you love Pepe's? Tell me.
It's wonderful.
It's the old Griggs recipes.
It's the New Mexican Griggs. Yes.
And he figured it out. He and his wife, Lorena, they got this song. And we're going to go see them today, by the way. So if you're interested to join us out there, Roy, you going to make it?
Yes, we'll be there.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
And I'll hang out there, and a few other people I know are coming. And that'll be the day. All right. The other person dropped off. We had another question.
I had another question for him.
Well, we'll just keep the stuff to ourselves.
So if somebody wants to try another question, they can call in.
If they have an interest in it. Okay. Hold on here, if you don't mind, Kathy, and Shelley will tell you how to pick up your prize. All right?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Very much. And you can't win a prize more than like 60 days, within 60 days, that kind of thing. They get kind of uppity. Roy, you know this stuff. And the little lady at the front desk is very good about this. She keeps a file. They make you give your driver's license number when you win, so you can't get around this one.
That's right.
So don't even try.
Makes a copy of it, and you're never getting it.
It must prove who you are.
That's right.
It. All right, Roy, we're going to come back and talk more things. We've got to take another break here, but we got a lot to do here. We haven't even gotten out of the 90s, I think, or the 80s.
Well, that's true, yeah. You know, so, Philippe and I are products of the 1970s broadcast period here in El Paso, but there was so much more that happened in the 80s and 90s than into the 2000s, and we were a part of as well.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
yeah.
Well, the 80s is when you moved to KVIA.
Yes, I was at KVIA from... Well, for almost 12 years. That was 11 years, I believe.
82 yeah. to
yes.
93.
And so a lot of interesting characters, a lot of very talented young news reporters, some of whom who went on to do wonderful things at the national scene. And we can talk about that if you'd like later.
Yeah, there's people at stations all over the country that came through here. All right, back in a moment here. We should do the phone number.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-5876. KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. EPHistory.com.
If you're a CPAP user, soap and water cleaning may leave harmful bacteria, viruses, and mold that can make you sick. That alone will keep you up at night. Until now, SoClean.com is the world's first and only automated hands-free CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. SoClean kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs without soap, water, harsh chemicals, or even equipment disassembly. And now, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-885-1144.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean's revolutionary design makes it easy to clean your CPAP and protect you against CPAP-related illnesses. Plus, SoClean works with all popular CPAP devices to clean them in minutes. It really is that easy. Don't risk your health. Call SoClean.com now to try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-885-1144. This offer won't last. Call now. 800-885-1144. 800-885-1144. If you're a CPAP user, soap and water cleaning may leave harmful bacteria, viruses, and mold that can make you sick. That alone will keep you up at night. Until now, SoClean.com is the world's first and only automated hands-free CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. SoClean kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs without soap, water, harsh chemicals, or even equipment disassembly. And now, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-885-1144.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean's revolutionary design makes it easy to clean your CPAP and protect you against CPAP-related illnesses. Plus, SoClean works with all popular CPAP devices to clean them in minutes. It really is that easy. Don't risk your health. Call SoClean.com now to try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-885-1144. This offer won't last. Call now. 800-885-1144. 800-885-1144.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Oh boy, have we got something for you. This is going to happen this week only in El Paso, Inc.
El Pasoans are jumping on the house flipping trend, but it's not as glamorous as it looks on HGTV.
Also, a new brain scanner knows when you may have had a concussion. And El Paso Hospital is one of the two in the U.S. that has it.
How is business at El Paso's Whole Foods? The new general manager visits with El Paso Inc.
That's El Paso Inc. online at elpasoinc.com and available for home and business delivery.
Call El Paso Inc. 534-4422 to get your home or business subscription on Monday.
ABC 7 tonight, Sunday night on ABC 7, the ripple effects of last weekend's racial unrest in Charlottesville, how to deal with the removal of Confederate monuments, and how can the bitter debate be bridged? The guests include New Mexico State Representative Bill McComley, El Paso Republican Party Chairman Adolfo Tejas, and El Paso historian Bernie Sargent.
The program is live and interactive, and you can send in your comment or question via email, Facebook, Twitter, or give them a call. Stephanie Guadian hosts Sunday at 10:30 p.m. on ABC 7.
We're going to be there or be square.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting show.
Oh, Roy Ortega, look at you.
Speaking of ABC 7.
You worked there for a long time, but you survived.
Yes, had a wonderful experience there.
Well, there's a lot of graduates from ABC 7, and there's some that need to graduate and haven't done so yet.
But yeah, I was very fortunate. I worked with some very talented young people and not so young people, and I think the TV station continues to make a huge contribution to the community in a lot of different ways, you know, and as the other stations are, have been doing for a long, long time. I mentioned earlier that some of us made a conscious decision a long time ago to stay in El Paso because we love the place so much. And so we had the opportunity.
San Antonio, right?
Yes, I was born and raised in San Antonio. I lived there as a young man. I'm in my mid-60s now. And I came to El Paso and fell in love with the place and decided that this was the place for me. Because, you know, like a lot of young people, they have a tendency to come to El Paso fresh out of college looking for a place to pad their resume to get some experience under their
the
belt.
TV people.
Right.
TV
and a lot of them do great work here for 2 or 3 years, then they move on to the bigger cities or wherever. I chose to stay here, and I don't regret one moment of ever having that. Made that decision.
Well, you ended up at Project Amistad?
Yes, after I left media in 2009, I started working for nonprofit agencies, and I've said this numerous times. If I'd have known how rewarding and meaningful and purposeful working for a nonprofit agency was back in the old days, I would have probably spent most of my time doing that instead of working in media. But I love working for organizations like Project Bravo, Project Amistad, now known as just Amistad, because of the direct impact that these agencies have on people who are in dire need of various kinds of services, whether they're elderly, whether they're persons with disabilities. These agencies do a tremendous amount of good work in the community, and I was very, very pleased and honored to have spent the last 8 or 9 years working for these organizations.
But broadcasting was your life for a long time.
It was. I spent my entire career in media was about 35 or 36 years total with everything. I spent more than 40 years worth of a career here, and just retired. And at this age, I just figured, you know, let the younger folks take over and make their contributions as well.
You may have to find out what fishing really is.
That is true, and I do come from a family of fishermen, but since I moved to El Paso,
there's
not a whole lot of places to go fishing.
The Rio Grande Yacht Club is not active anymore.
Yeah, I grew up near the Gulf Coast and did spend a lot of time as a youth on the ocean as well.
All right, let's take a look at El Paso through your eyes physically. Yeah. I remember one of the biggest things that changed El Paso when I was growing up was I-10 being constructed. See, I lived just off of the mountain on Frankfort Street by Alabama, and Alabama was a raceway every night, and so was Piedras, and so was Copia.
Yes.
Then the North-South Freeway came in and changed that. But east and west, I mean, it must have been horrendous. I wasn't a driver back then, but Alameda and Mesa, I mean—
You were familiar with Highway 20 then.
That would have to be how you'd live.
Yes.
So how was it, in your opinion, when I-10 hit
there was
the
no
fan?
Such thing as the North-South Freeway when I arrived in 1976, nor Loop 375 didn't exist either.
And that's now being finished.
And that's just within the time that I was here. The last 42 years.
How do you think that's going to transform El Paso? I see it in 375 hits. This could be huge.
You know, I'm sure you've seen this. I'm seeing that it looks like even with the amount of construction and expansion of the transportation system in our city, it's still not going to be enough in the near future. I would imagine that by the time they finish the current construction projects on the west side and along the North South Freeway on the east side, Loop 374, Now, by the time they finish those projects, that we're going to be expanding even further beyond that.
So, even more going.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, another topic. Steve Krosno. Did you ever work with Krosno?
I knew him. I didn't work with him as much. He was on the radio side, and I spent most of my time working in news on television. But Steve Krosno is definitely a legend, a music legend in El Paso. I used to listen to the radio stations out of El Paso when I was a teenager and living in San Antonio because of the powerful radio signals that used to come out of here back in those days.
You could hear it.
There was a 150,000-watt radio station, I think, coming out of Juarez.
Yeah, right? It was in Juarez, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I would hear a lot of the signals coming out of here, and I would listen to Wolfman Jack.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Who was on a radio station.
WOAI.
Exactly.
That was in San Antonio.
Yeah, you know what? I even worked at WOAI for a short time.
Well, you know, WOAI became Clear Channel?
Yes, they were. That was the flagship station for
Clear Channel
back in the late 60s, I believe, early 70s.
All right, take a stab. Why do they call it Clear Channel?
Because the signals of the original stations were very strong.
And there was nobody else on that frequency for 1,000 miles.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yes.
WABC 77 had another station. The nearest one was Albuquerque. And so that's how they would separate, the FCC did. And they gave those AM stations the 50,000 watts. This is the biggest AM station in El Paso, is 690. And back in the day, it was KHAY 690. And the signal basically in the daytime goes straight up about Route 54. All the way up into New Mexico, sometimes over to 25.
When I worked for Mr. Weiler at KTSM, the radio stations and the TV stations were all together in one location at 801 North Oregon, as you recall.
Right, but the transmitters weren't there.
But the transmitters, you're right, they were someplace else.
The transmitter for 1380 is down in an apartment complex.
Yeah.
It's 1,000 watts daytime, 500 nighttime, so it's not that big a signal. So when this talk station, Clear Channel Bottom, and swapped the frequencies with the programming. So all of a sudden, 690 became the noisy talker.
Huge, yeah.
Now, which radio stations had a transmitter over the dump over there off of Delta Street? Do you recall that?
That was KELP.
That was KELP.
920.
Oh, okay.
920 KELP.
And then the television station started at that location.
Yes.
And the stories that I used to hear was that since it was sitting on top of an old landfill, that the floors of the building would start shifting.
And the cameras would roll down.
Exactly.
Yeah, and there were some really crazy stories about the early KELP television. I worked there in 1970 at KELP TV, and I only worked there for 4 months, and I went over to KHAY 6.
Did you ever work for Stanley Mars 3 by any chance?
Yes, he was the guy standing there. And then, of course, back in that day, they were so cheap at that station, God bless them, they didn't have an AT&T connection in El Paso for their television network to come in.
Yeah.
They had their own microwaves on two mountaintops between here and Arizona. So they'd get the West Coast feed, microwave it to one mountain, microwave it to the second mountain, second mountain, we're talking from Arizona, and that second mountain would hit into El Paso where they'd take it and put it on the air. Well, one day they had a snowstorm up there. And guess what happened? The guys had snowmobiles in the back. I always went, why did this place have snowmobiles?
So they rode up there and cleaned off the dish.
We found out why. It took them 2 days to get up that mountain and clean off the dish, the transmitter in between. And after a while.
Well, the fact that we were in the mountain time zone, that created some challenges for for all the TV stations in the area.
See, a lot of people didn't know that. No. That's what was going on back then.
And do you know how dangerous it is to clean off those old microwave dishes?
Oh, my God, yes. Those things, they have incredible power on them, and it's focused. I mean, out at the old 690 transmitter on KHAY, we used to go out there. I didn't do it, but another guy took a lizard he caught, and he threw it over at the transmitter and fried it on the tower. And I'm thinking, okay, don't go near that thing. Anyway, enough of that. We got to take a break. Roy Ortega, come back with two more stories, and then we're going to go to Pepe's, right?
That's right.
You ready to go?
I'm not going to go back.
Well, you got to go to Concordia tonight.
I got to get ready for this wonderful event where everybody's going to come out to tonight after they go to Pepe's.
All right, we're going to hear about this after the break. Look at us on Facebook if you can. What's going on there?
I got the picture up finally of Roy and Philippa I took here in the studio.
On Facebook at El Paso History
and
Radio Show.
I also pushed up something I found on Roy's page of your going away. It's a blooper of you and of
probably Suzanne.
Suzanne Michaels. Right. Yeah, well, totally blank.
It's happened to every single news anchor man in the country.
Oh, anybody that's ever had a microphone in front of them, I'm sure. Yes.
Well, yeah, but the blooper reels are more fun. And every time they ran something for you about a month ago when you were retiring, there was Suzanne sitting there with you.
Yes.
And so maybe she'll show up at lunch today. You never know.
The important thing is to make light of it. You know, I was never embarrassed by it. I was just, I thought it was fun. And I'm happy to see that people are watching it and enjoying it.
Well, then you didn't get caught in any good ones. That's what happened.
So go to El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page, and you can check out the blooper.
Back in a moment.
The trip we're taking this weekend to Aguirre Springs is the shortest trip we'll take all year. But what it lacks in distance, it more than makes up for in diversity. It's where the Oregon Mountains have met the Chihuahuan Desert and decided to become one. The mountains harbor more than 800 plant species, where you'll find everything from alligator junipers to ponderosa pines. Same thing with animals. You'll see everything from Colorado chipmunks to mule deer, from the ruby-throated hummingbird to the golden eagle. Our hogs are big fans of diversity, too. Trips like this one will include everything from Sportsters to electric glides and anything else Harley has to offer. But what we have to offer is the best group of people riding to the most interesting places you'll find anywhere in the country. And along with all that diversity, we offer something else, too. The greatest place in the world to buy and ride your new Harley-Davidson. The adventure begins at BarnettHarley.com, or you can see us in person at Barnett Harley-Davidson. Because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
Frigo, Frigo, Frigo. Know how to make it feel good.
Frigo means dry and cool in Latin, and that's exactly how you'll feel when you wear Frigo underwear. With ergonomic seams, moisture-wicking technology, and sports compression, Frigo is technical underwear designed for the ultimate performance and comfort. It's like having custom-made air-conditioned underwear. F-R-I-G-O spells Frigo. Buy yours now at iwearfrigo.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
What I'm going to tell you in the next 60 seconds could change your life. A college degree is more than a piece of paper or entry on your resume. A degree is an all-access pass to your future and a daily reminder of what you can accomplish. If you're thinking about going back to school but can't disrupt your life, consider Arizona State University. ASU Online offers the same high-quality education, world-renowned faculty, dedicated student support, and exceptional learning resources, all 100% online. You'll earn the same respected ASU degree as on-campus students and access a global network of over 400,000 alumni. Learn why ASU is ranked top 5 nationally for producing the best qualified graduates. Text COURSE to 37913. ASU Online offers over 150 degrees online, from education to healthcare, engineering, and more. Learn more about ASU Online. Text COURSE to 37913. That's COURSE to 37913.
Hey, I'm Lady Gaga, and I'm proud to announce that I'm teaming up with Staples for Students. They're donating $2 million to DonorsChoose.org and Born This Way Foundation. Together, we're working to create a more positive classroom experience. Learn more at StaplesForStudents.org.
Win your trip to our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival, hosted by Ryan Seacrest.
Let's go!
Over 20 of the greatest performers on the planet. September 22nd and 23rd at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Listen to Win Your Trip.
Vegas! Capital One is the proud marquee partner of the iHeartRadio Music Festival. So, cardholders, make sure to have your Capital One card with you at the Daytime Village presented by Capital One to unlock exclusive opportunities. See you in Vegas.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We are almost out of here. Roy Ortega is still here. Felipa took off. But Roy, you're going to go to lunch with us, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Pepe, 6761 Donovan, be there.
I'm just looking at their menu.
That's why I gave you the menu.
Yes.
I forgot to do this.
Special.
This is important. We need you to pick an entree that then is becomes the Oñate special.
Chile rellenos, whole Mesilla Valley green chili stuff with and mild cheddar cheese, and dipped in an egg batter, frijoles, and rice.
There you go.
And right now, with the chilies being harvested and hatched, oh my gosh.
It's the best time to eat a green chili.
Okay, so we're calling this the Oñate special. And the reason we call that the Oñate special, Pepe's building is physically sitting on what had to be the Camino Real. So Oñate physically went through that space at some point. So the Oñate special today is a chile relleno. Somebody tell Pepe, because we always have to warn him.
And don't forget, we have to say hey to Ray Baca.
Ray Baca, 1, 2, 3, hey Ray. Ray Baca is a sponsor. He's Monterey Asset Management. And
he's a good friend of the show.
He's a good kid.
Thank you, Ray.
And we hassled him one time, and he showed up at lunch and said, what'd you say about me?
Well, it was all good.
It actually was all good.
And I really want to pop in real quick. Please, everybody, show up tonight for Concordia Cemetery's the annual meeting of the John Wesley Heart and Secret Society. It's a good fundraiser for Concordia Cemetery. You've got a small group of volunteers that are continuing to struggle to take care of Concordia Cemetery. And it's a fun event for the whole family. See Six Guns of Shady Ladies. They give their time to come out there and perform for them, and it's just a blast. Gates open at 6.
Historical and informative.
This is hardcore El Paso history is what
It is. And maybe if you want to come out and volunteer, it's a great way to meet some of the volunteers that work hard at Concordia Cemetery. We're always looking for more people. Learn about the ghost tours that we have out there to help us fund also the work that the volunteers do. And it's just a great thing. Where else can you go? It's the only one of its kind in the country that does.
And you don't know
this.
How important the work that you're doing is to the community, keeping this alive, because this is something that is so much a part of our community that it needs to keep going, and people need to learn about it and understand it.
All history. Yeah. Well, history.
It's interesting. Bring your lawn chair.
Oh, yeah.
And bring your sneakers.
Closed toe shoes.
No sandals. You'll be sorry.
I love the girls that come out there in their little high heels.
You can push a baby stroller, but make sure you have shoes on. Don't let the kid run loose. But it's an interesting thing. They do fire the guns off, and they make a lot of noise, and it's an interesting adventure to see.
It comes alive. You make it interesting.
And an auction. We've got an auction tonight.
Oh, yeah, we've got auction great items. We're going to have the Gunfight Seal West. Thank you very much for donating that. We'll have that and items from the El Paso Saddlery, which is a very historic saddlery. It's one of the oldest in El Paso in the Southwest.
It's a holster or something.
But I want to ask Roy something. Is there a Hall of Fame for broadcast here in El Paso?
You got me on that one. I don't know if there is or not.
I would think it would be nice if there was
something.
I know
there's a Sports Hall of Fame here.
The closest thing may be the collection of equipment that they took out from the Community Foundation and put in the Community Foundation.
That was one of the things that I wanted to bring up during the discussion, because I know that there is a considerable archive of scripts and stories that date back to the beginning of TV news and local news here in El Paso. What has become of all of that? Because that is the history of our community through the eyes of the local news organizations.
We need
here.
To pay for a curator is what the deal is. UTEP has boxes and boxes that somebody dumped on their loading dock one day.
Yes.
And I think Claudia Rivers kept them, but she doesn't have a capacity to curate them. You got to play old videos. You got to play film. You got to play 3/4-inch tapes.
You know, if you wanted to find out exactly what El Paso looked like in 1969, there's plenty of film and video in those newsrooms stashed away someplace.
Well, a lot of them threw it away.
Unfortunately, that's probably the case.
Age, of course, how it affects video and such now, too, that you lost
it
a lot of that.
It all needs to be transferred to digital. Anyway.
Well, do they still have the room set up like they used to have over at the old hotel at the El Paso Community Foundation?
They have cameras strewn around a little
bit. Yeah, and they had the old radio. They had the microphone that I kept trying to steal, and they kept grabbing it back from me.
They know who you are now.
I know. I love the old microphone that Weiler had.
Well, someplace there are those archives laying around someplace, and I'm hoping somebody digs them out and makes them available to the public.
Yeah. My new best friend is the guy who wins the lottery tonight. I'm going to ask him to help us do a curation of all of this old broadcast stuff.
Wouldn't that be cool?
My new best friend, whoever it may be. There you go. What do you think, Roy?
There you go. There's a launch for the Broadcast Hall of Fame type of thing, and you could have all the media and everything. I think that there's something for the Museum of Art down on International Museum of Art on...
they could do it.
On Montana.
Real quick, tomorrow night, KRWG, 10:30 p.m., we are beginning our 10 weeks of broadcast of our DVD series. the El Paso Gold Series about history. There's another bunch of history that people need to know. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow night is the last tour of the El Paso smelter, and it is when the stacks come down. And you'll see that 10:30 tomorrow night on KRWG 22. It's on cable here in El Paso. Roy Ortega, we'll see you out at Pepe's.
We'll be over there.
Thanks for coming in. We're going to have to do this again and stir up some more dirt.
It's been fun. It's been a pleasure.
See you then and there. Melissa, next week?
I'll see you next week. And Roy, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure.
My pleasure.
It was so much fun.
Thank you, Control Room. See you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by EPHistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.